Word of Faith Ministries, establishing the kingdom of God and changing lives with the message of faith and the grace of Jesus Christ with a practical, biblical, and balanced teaching you can trust.
Thank you for your word and your truth. Thank you that you help us. Thank you. We receive from you understanding, revelation, and wisdom. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. Continuing with our study series for many weeks now. I think perhaps 10 Sundays now with this series. Saving your soul has to do with changing your way of thinking. It's surprising how this subject is so important and so little spoken on. The majority of Christians talk of, asking God to do things in our lives and to pray, and prayer is good. Prayer is good, but again, you have to see from what position you're doing it in. If you're doing it as a son of God, understanding who you are in Christ, or if you do it as if you were a beggar. As if you didn't have an inheritance in God, as if you weren't a child of God. All depends on your position, from what point you're doing it. And that changes everything. Amen. It changes everything. Now, I'm not going to waste my time, because if I were to ask you, so some of you, or all of you, if I were to ask some of you specifically, what does redemption mean? I don't know if I'm going to waste my time a lot in answering. Or if you know it or not. And then if you don't know it, I get disappointed very quickly. Because it's something that I've spoken on for years. And I tell Nubia, one time I was talking with you, I said, I don't know, I don't understand why. Seeing of people that I've known for years. That I've known for years in Christ. Sometimes here in church, I make questions where it says to say 2 + 2 = 4. And people just don't know. So perhaps each one is different. Ever since I, by the grace of God, I learned all these things, I don't take it as if I know everything now, because there's so much information out there. But I continue studying the same thing. I meditate on the same thing. You know, sometimes I read the same verses, make the same confessions, the same. And there are new phases of revelation or understanding, but the foundations are the same. The foundations are the same. In these days, in these times we're living in, times of spiritual apathy, people are better off at home on the internet watching through a screen instead of going to church. But God doesn't change. God will not change because technology changes or because the world has changed. God will not change because of that. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are the ones that should fix ourselves onto the Lord and His Word. Now, here's what I'm going to do. And this is something that you should know. It's very important that you know it. It's part of who you are in Christ. And millions of Christians don't know it. Millions. I was in the Phoenix area, and it's one of the questions that I would make. And even I would ask some of the pastors, what does this word mean? What is this? And they didn't know. They didn't know. And as my pastor in heaven would say, these are the foundations. These are what you should never forget. Something that you should have always inside of you. And respond to it. Understanding this now, you'll walk in health. People want health in their own strength, in dead works, in doing this and doing the other. Don't do this and do this. And they give 20 requirements of what God requires and 30 steps for God to heal you, and none of that works really. In Ephesians 1, and this is a foundation. Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Christ to Himself. Now, as you read this, you'll see that this is all past tense. This is all past tense. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Verse 4, just as He chose us in love before the foundation of the world, without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Grace, favor, unmerited favor. Something not gained or not won. You didn't win it. It's unearned. If you have to earn it, it's not grace anymore. It's unmerited. If you understand that, then you'll be healed. Because there are people who simply do not understand this and give lots of place to the devil. Again, of His grace. Aren't you thankful with the Lord it's not of my grace? Because I sometimes don't tend to give a lot of grace. There are times, for example, people say, oh, it's because I'm in depression. It's because I have this, that, and the other. And I tell them, aren't you baptized with the Holy Spirit? Yes. And well, they lose me after that. I don't give much grace towards that. Amen. But glory to God, it says, by the grace of God. Again, do you understand what grace is? Are you understanding? What is grace? Something unmerited. Something that you do not have to earn. Where someone had to pay for it for you. That's grace. Unmerited favor. Something that regardless of what you do, you'll never reach that point. That's grace. Unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. All of us, all we just deserve to die and go to hell. The issue is people, even in our area of faith, fall in these false traps of the devil and of tradition. And I tell you this because I've heard of people in area. I'm not talking about preachers, just common people. For example, they buy a home or a car and then they say, someone from their family, tell them, oh, you deserve it. And when you get used to using that language, I deserve it, I deserve it, doesn't work anymore. Because you'll think that it's the same with God as well. When a blessing comes, you say, oh, it's because I deserve it, because I'm very obedient. And you won't give glory to God anymore. You won't say no by the grace of God. So I've taught you this for years. All faith does is a response to God. It's a positive response to God. Amen. That's what your faith does. Faith, again, faith corresponds, cooperates, and collaborates with the grace of God. That's what faith does. When I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I spoke with a person. I'm not going to tell you who. I just said, don't you catch yourself when you're confessing. When you say, I'm more than a conqueror by Christ Jesus. Do you not realize it's by Christ? And what you do is you recognize only. That's your confession. You recognize. You're recognizing. You're affirming what the Lord paid for. You're not in the equation. 1 + 1 = 2. In this case, the Lord Jesus plus the Lord Jesus equals healing. The issue is Christians, it's the Lord Jesus plus me. And from there, you diluted it. Amen. Which is why people speak more disgrace than grace. It's best to speak grace or faith, words full of faith, words full of grace. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it. Compared to, oh man, well, let's see how it's going to go today. And you know why? Because that's her way of thinking. There are people, and in 3 days I was in the Phoenix area, and I spoke with some people, and some of them I've known them for years. And I told them, you're like this because of your way of thinking, I told someone that I know from years ago. It's just ways of thinking. What a man thinks in his heart, that's how he will be. If you think that way, for example, do you not hear Christians say, oh yes, it's because now during winter time it's more common to get cold. That means then, you notice, it's normal. Every time winter time comes, Brother Hughes, I get sick. So what you're saying is that the Word of God does not work during winter time, just during summertime. You see how it has to do with ways of thinking? Ways of thinking will have you always as a loser. All the time, regardless of what you pray, how much you pray, how you pray, nothing's going to happen. Again, your prayer should be based on who you are in Christ. In other words, when you're praying, and I know I've been speaking a lot in our midweek services about this, but it's in your position as a son. And the only reason you pray, the motive, when I say motive another way, the attitude, the purpose of your prayer, of your heart, is to praise and worship God. Man, I'm missing so many the correct words to express myself here. I don't know if to say the while you wait, or in the moment that I'm praising, worshiping God. Well, forgive me. I don't even know how to say it correctly. But for example, when I pray, I'm always praising God, loving God, worshiping God. But I'm never thinking, when am I going to throw a confession of the word? Or when I'm going to speak blessing over someone? That comes to mind. I'm not thinking on it like, oh, it's 3 seconds, 3 minutes, praising God. Now what's next? You see, years ago, a mother called me. She's a mother, sister in Christ, and her son was in a grave situation. It was a mortal illness. And she called me and she said, Brother Hughes, I need your help. And this sister in Christ, mother of a family, had been exposed to faith and all of these teachings for years. She said, my son is in a grave situation. He's in the hospital. Gave me details. And she told me like this, look, Brother Hughes, I've already confessed the word. Her son was alive as well in that moment in the hospital. We've confessed the word. We've praised. We've worshipped. We've danced. They brought a speaker with some CD and put music there. We've danced. We've prayed in tongues. Now what's next? You understand what I'm trying to say? What she was saying is, okay, what's next? As if it were a formula. That's what I'm referring to. You know what happened? That guy died. He's in heaven. He was a believer. But my point is, when I'm praying, I'm not constantly thinking when to throw a confession, or when to say, by his stripes I was healed, or when to say, I'm more than a conqueror. But in the moment when I'm praying, I'm just worshiping God, praising the Lord. Then if I have a prompting, then I speak something. I'm not constantly thinking about it. I'm not basing my relationship on formulas. Do you understand me? Because just a moment ago I said, I'm not sure if perhaps I'm using the correct word. So I want to make sure you understand it. Sometimes I understand it for myself, but I don't know how to make you understand. I'm not constantly thinking of, oh, am I going to throw a confession here or a confession over there? And making a formula of it. Then, in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. Although it may not be the best word here, but accepted. Let me see the New King James Version. It's just used twice in the whole Bible. He made us accepted. Oh, yeah, it's correct. Okay, many times in our language, let's say in our culture, sometimes we use the word accept as tolerate. As to say, oh, well, yeah, accept that person. In other words, oh, what was that? Yes, tolerate it. Or you want to go buy something to eat, there wasn't the meat that you wanted. So you have to deal with another one and say, oh, well, just accept that piece. It looks fine. But this word doesn't mean that. More so the Greek word for this. I'll just share it here with you. The Greek word here, the word for grace is charis. In English, it's charis, charis in Spanish, but the correct pronunciation is charis. And the other word here, it's charito, comes from the same root. You know where that word is also found? In two places of the Bible is it found. Which is here. And when the angel appeared to Mary in the Gospels and said, you are highly favored. Those are the only two places of the Bible where we find this Greek word. And you will not find it again in the whole Bible, in the whole New Testament. In Luke 1:28, and having come in, the angel said, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. In Ephesians 1:6, the correct way of the Greek would be this. In Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He made us highly favored in the Beloved. Highly favored. The only two places where you will find the word harito, those are the only two parts in the whole Bible. This is the only two places where you will find it. Here in Ephesians 1:6, and in Luke, where we just read a moment ago. Highly favored. The correct way of reading it would be then this way. One more time. To the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us highly favored in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's the word I'll be touching on in a few more minutes. And this word, I asked so many pastors and Christians 20, 30 years in Christianity, and I would ask them, what does redemption mean? No one could answer. And in my opinion, which I'd say is the correct one, it's very embarrassing that someone would ask you from the world, a Christian that was just born again, and ask you, hey brother, what does redemption mean? How many of you know what a noun is? We're going to see two words here. Noun, which is redemption. And what would be the verb? To redeem. First, record this in your mind because it's foundational. It's the ABCs of Christianity. And millions of Christians don't even know it. The word redemption, look at the word redemption here. Means No, that word there isn't complete. It's not the way I sent it. It means liberation, salvation, recovery, or liberation obtained through a payment of a ransom. It indicates someone paid a price, a rescue for you. Have you heard Christians who are looking for liberation? They haven't understood that they've been redeemed. Hallelujah. Redemption. What is redemption then? Liberation, there we go, I mentioned a moment ago. Liberation obtained through someone paying something. Someone paid for your rescue through payment of a ransom. Now, redeemed in Galatians, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The verb here, redeem, means to buy. Have you seen when Paul said, you have been paid by a price, rescued. To ransom, to redeem by paying a price, means to free. To rescue or free a captive from slavery by paying a price. Someone paid for us to save, to recover, to exchange. Can you imagine? Some of you look sick or are sick. Some of you look sad, not that you look in the moment. I'm saying, in general, people look that way of worn out. You know why? Because they don't understand who they are in Christ. If you understand this, say glory to God. Who cares who loves you or not? If you understand that the Lord loves you, although no one loved you in this planet Earth, there would not be Christians in depression. It's a bomb that I'm giving, huh? There would not be Christians in depression. And I'm saying this so you can understand me a bit better. Why would you have to get depressed or people would have to take out a list? And there are Christians I've told them, put away that paper. I don't want to see it. You vomit all your unbelief on me or tell me why. I can understand why. I've also gone through things like that. But when I started changing my way of thinking, confessing this, I'm a child of God. I am redeemed by the Lord. All that went away. I understand in the sense that I've been in their position. But trying to justify things that happen, it's not good. You'll maintain yourself always in a low position. And these words, if you look them up in Spanish or in English, gives you practically a very similar definition. You know what the word here, to exchange, means? To interchange something. Someone was exchanged for you. It was the Lord Jesus. Someone died. Someone, glory to God. Someone went to hell for you. Someone carried all illness. Someone carried all depression. Now, I know nowadays, and I speak this to many people, and I've spoken to ministers. I sometimes speak with pastors. I've spoken with other scholars. Not many, but I do speak with certain people. And some say, well, it's very dangerous, everything that you teach. Someone told me relatively a short time ago, already starting this series, actually. Someone told me, well, it's very dangerous to teach that because then people taking freedom, they go with the debauchery, and we have people who are lazy, who don't come to church. A pastor telling me this. And I told him, I understand. Because the devil will always twist the truth. But the solution, according to the Bible, is to speak the truth. If someone uses this, what I'm speaking on, and walks in disobedience and does whatever they want to do, it's on them. They will suffer the consequences. But the Lord Jesus said, you will know the truth, and what? And the truth will set you free. It's the truth that will set you free, not lies. Hallelujah. There was a dumb guy here. Can't say he was intelligent in that area. And he left his wife for another woman and said, well, Pastor Hugh said, Pastor said that God loves us regardless. That's someone who's dumb. Amen. Romans 6, verse 16, before continuing here. Do you not know to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey? You are also one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Be it of death leading sin leading to death. So using these truths as a debaucherous lifestyle will lead you to many, many issues in life. And as we saw last Sunday, there's a pending danger there. And you don't want to end up reaching those points. When you see what we have, for me, I don't know, perhaps I'm different. I don't know. Perhaps. Because here in this town, so much of the world, not as much Christians. And I've heard so much of me saying that I'm weird. Or, oh man, you're so weird. Nubia. People who were here before would say, it's because your husband is very weird, pastor is very weird. But for me, something, instead of weird, more peculiar, I'm different. Yeah, and you have to believe it as well. I'm different. I'm a different specimen. Because the Lord lives in me. Hallelujah. Amen. When I travel, I was out for 3 days there in Phoenix. I take my pillows, take everything that I need, everything, my pajamas, things that I use to shave. Man, I don't like, and this is me, not saying that you should shave your beard or something, but I like to be very comfortable. And I'm different. I'm not like the rest of the world. Amen. Well, I said this in the natural. Why don't you look at yourself inside of you? Look at yourself differently. And when you understand who lives in you, and you're not different because you're special or because I'm special, it's the Lord Jesus that's special. Then you start speaking differently. And you start establishing the word. You start saying, I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Notice what the word redemption means. Verse 7, Ephesians 1, verse 7, in whom, referring to the Lord Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. It's telling you right there, according to the riches of His grace. Colossians 1 verse 14. One more time. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. You have another word there. Notice, we were bought with a price. So I don't understand Christians. Forgive me. You can forgive me if perhaps I'm telling you these things. Forgive me if I say things where when I'm preaching and some think or many think that, oh, it's because Brother Hughes is very mean and sensible. Could it perhaps be, this is a form of a question, or could it be how How old are you, love? How long have you had here with us? Oh, you are very young. Could it be? So many years, what I do is I close my ears to all criticism. Could it be? It's a question, not affirming. Could it be that I'm not constantly on Facebook looking what they're publishing about me or posting or what they're talking about me or what this one is doing, what the other is doing, what this church is doing? Could it be that I'm just not looking at any of that? And the time that other people spend on social media and on the internet and on nonsense and looking at others on pornography and others in this and the and that. Could it be that Brother Hughes has been with his eyes stuck in these verses? Could it be that? Could be. So then that gives you another perspective on life. And you understand who you are in Christ. And you start seeing that there is a spiritual world out there. And there's a world in the natural. Yeah, we don't deny the natural. But think about it. Moment will come in which you have such an assurance and confidence that you say, what do I care? And I'm giving examples here. Sometimes my family gets disappointed with me. Even if my family stopped loving me, all my brothers didn't stop talking to me. So I don't get disappointed with what I tell them. You know what? This one here sleeps so comfortably at night. But you know why? Not because I'm special in me, but the special one lives in me. Glory to God. And you can ask my wife. Things can happen. Look at this, look at the other. This guy left and this and the other. This one said that you're crazy. Me just, oh. Amen. I'm not asking details of anything. Oh, so-and-so said this and the other. One day we arrived from church, something happened, and Nubia was crying. And I said, what happened? Because this happened and this and the other. And I had just arrived from church. Was it a Tuesday or a Thursday? I don't remember. What I do Tuesdays and Thursdays when I arrive from home, from church? I take off my clothes to get into my pajamas. In that moment, I'll turn on some news of the conservative channels that I watch, which I leave recording, start watching something and I record them just to get ahead on what I don't want to watch. In that moment, she told me that and I thought, oh, it just kept changing. So what? It's so tiring just crying for people like that, but it's not going to change who I am in Christ. Could it be that? Just perhaps some doubt. Could it be then that I have so many years and I continue focusing? Because you know what? 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 12. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. I don't want to read the whole thing. You read it at home, everything that it's talking about here. What happened in Exodus and Numbers. What it is referring to the Apostle Paul. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So I'm always making sure that I do not fall, putting my sights on this. Amen. And in our youth service on last Friday, I was sharing with them, like, hey, everything that you went through, we went through it as well. Spoke to those about supposed boyfriends of, oh, I feel like I can't live without you. And, oh, I like him so much. I'm going to cut my veins. It's all nonsense. Amen. All nonsense. I spoke of many subjects. And according to my opinion, which is the correct one, what I spoke was very interesting. They asked many questions, and after that, we had a good time. I came with a cap. I preached with a cap backwards. Even in tennis. Now, notice this. He who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. If you plan on standing firm, make sure you don't fall. Now go back there to Ephesians. All that's condemned about me is when my wife tells me, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't talk like that. But apart from that, nothing condemns me. But then I forget about it. A brother once told me, Brother Hughes, what do you do when, oh man, you're so condemned and you can't sleep and sleep doesn't let you, and the condemnation doesn't let you sleep? Nothing. Well, I just turn the other way and I tuck myself in better. I know people could take this up. Oh, do whatever you want. Don't repent. No, I'm not talking about that. There's a difference between you do something, you truly repent, but you change your way of thinking. Here's an example of this. The people who just do not change because they don't want to. Some time ago, I told a person, I love these people, love these families a lot. But I tell you this so that you don't talk what, speak things that you're not going to do. And so you can understand who you are in Christ. If you understand who you are in Christ, you'll be careful then what you speak, what you say. Not just speaking blessings, but also you won't do things. Or you won't say things that no one is asking you for. You're not going to be saying one thing for another. Something very terrible in a Christian. You know something very terrible? That another person doesn't trust in you. There's a difference between love and trust. You know, God loves you. God loves me, but he's not obligated to trust in us. God loves you doesn't mean he trusts in you. Amen. Do you know that or you didn't? There are some Christians that confuse that. God loves me, therefore, well, he loves me and he trusts in me. No, not necessarily. Some of you have children. Think in your children in this moment, if you have more than one. I can assure you that you love all of them, perhaps one or two you don't trust in completely. You don't trust that if you tell them something, they're going to do it, as you said it, for whatever reason. I love all my children, but Anthony is already driving ever since he was 16. Perhaps I don't remember exactly, but to this day, I still don't have all trust in him. My mom and I don't completely trust in him to say, you go all the way to Tucson or to Phoenix. He's driven, but with us in the passenger, but not by himself. In my experience, perhaps he still needs a bit more practice. I don't trust in him going all the way by himself. Yes, perhaps he's still not used to driving in so much traffic. Doesn't have the experience. Which is why I said there are many reasons. How many of your children, if you know your children, you'll say, do this and the other, and then they forget or they didn't do it correctly? You're going to love that child, but you can't always trust in them. Amen. God loves you, but loving doesn't mean that you're going to trust them. Well, the same thing happens. That's from God to you. Same thing happens then between us, between brothers in Christ. I love my brothers in Christ, all, whoever. My brother in Christ. But I cannot trust in all of them. What's the difference then? Why do I say this? What does it have to do with redemption? If you understand that you are redeemed, you understand redemption. It's then from your position of redemption, you'll give value to your words. Yeah, God loves you the same if you're a liar or if you say the truth. But you're going to close all doors here. Are you understanding now?
The Word of God says in Romans 10, 9 through 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For in the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. If you have not received Jesus Christ, you have not been born again. Therefore, you have to take the next step. I am not speaking about a religion or changing your religion. I am speaking about you receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. I invite you to make this confession with me. God, in heaven above, I come before you to receive the gift of life, to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. I believe that you raised him from the dead. I believe he is alive and he reigns. Jesus, I give you my life and I invite you into my heart. From now on, God, I can call you Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for receiving me as your child. Now, if you have said this prayer, you have been born again. Welcome to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to God's family. And remember, with all thy getting, get understanding. The word says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
We want to know about you and what God has done in your life. Please visit our website, mpfccc.org, and click on the testimony section and share with us the wonders of the Lord.
Do you have any questions regarding this teaching? Visit our website at mpfccc.org and click on the question section to submit your question for Pastor Ignacio Hughes.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and welcome to Word of Faith Ministries. We're all about sharing biblical, practical, and balanced teachings that you can trust. Through our teachings, special broadcasts, and live videos, we aim to spread the gospel far and wide. And if you share what we do, you're helping us reach even more people and keep this mission going. Thanks for being part of it.
Now, some time ago, I was sharing this with a sister in Christ. I said, hey, man, it was about time you could have helped us with the children. She said, oh, yeah, put me to serve and you'll see that I'll be there. No, the Bible does not say that. The Bible says, I said, the Bible says, Paul, the apostle said, I was, you know what, go look at that verse. First Timothy 1:12. And I think Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And this kind person, sister in Christ, whom I love a lot, her and her family, I personally have nothing against them and I love them a lot. Well, you know what? I cannot trust in them in that whole family. I love them, but I can't trust in them. You see the difference? Because if I call her and she call me, I ask her to call me to let me know. I know she won't call me. Because they haven't understood their redemption. They haven't understood who they are in Christ. If you understand who you are in Christ and your redemption, you're going to value your words. Another example. I've had a long friendship with those people. They live outside of here from Douglas. And I said, such day I'm going to be at your place. Told them through a phone. At this hour, you know what happened? I forgot. Turns out, especially about things of the ministry, I always have to depend on Nubia, on Perla, Erika. They carry my schedule. Erika tells me we have recordings like this, your Nubia. So they have to work between them to... Say that you're going to do something else. But it turns out I told this person I'm going to be there at your day, at your place. I completely forgot. And I told them on a Friday. On Monday, I had recordings and I came to do recordings here. And I said that I was going to be there that Monday. But I forgot. Some weeks passed and I remembered. And it was because Nubi asked me, weren't you going to go to see this person? And I called him, I said, you know what, forgive me. And I had to explain why. For that reason, I don't like to make, to agree with something between people and then immediately, I have to tell Nubia to say, can I do that? And she says, no, you can't because of this or the other. It's not something that happens frequently. It's something that rarely happens. I'm a human and I don't always do everything perfect, but I'm talking about the people who do this as a lifestyle. You see the difference? Don't be like that. Which is why I've told you, miracles do not change people. It's the word. Miracles, another way of saying it, miracles are signs. You know what signs do? One more time, 3 days in Phoenix, you know what they do? Well, I was on the freeway, on the streets there. And the signs are telling you what streets you're going on, what that street is called. They point you towards your destiny, towards where you're going. That's it. Signs, miracles point you towards the Lord Jesus. They catch your attention. They remind you of your goodness. But they'll just get you emotional for a few days, for a month, a week, and then you're going to forget. But the word, if you put it constantly in your heart, you speak it, you establish it, and you're constantly thinking on the word of God and renewing and speaking, you discipline yourself, it will change your life. My pastor, who is in heaven, would tell me this a lot. Miracles don't change people. Now, I should say again, if someone hears me for the first time, we believe in miracles. But what I'm saying is they don't change someone. They won't change you. They'll get you emotional, which is the psalmist David said. Bless, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of His benefits, because you tend to forget. And over time, it's just a kind reminder. It's a kind memory, as if, as just an event that happened, of just something that happened. Puts a smile on your face, and that's it. But you'll continue the same. You'll continue forgetting your word, and no one will be able to trust in you. And in my opinion, that's very bad. It has to do with your testimony. One more time, I'm going to share this. I think I said this last Sunday. If in this moment, Nuvia were to go up there and said, brothers and sisters, I have some bad news to give you. My husband, the pastor of this church, left me for another woman, went to go live in Phoenix, and abandoned us, me, my children, and you here at the church. You know what? God will love me, continue loving me, because God does not love me according to what I do. Not saying that God is going to be jumping for joy, but God will continue loving me, and where I'm at, I'll pray, and God will continue receiving my prayers because I'm in Christ. I'm not in the Old Testament where Isaiah or Jeremiah, one of those two, said, your sins have caused division between you and I. Does not apply for today. I know religion detests that I say this. What? But it's true. But I will tell you this. You know what sin does do? Sin, what it does, is harden your heart. And you won't perceive God anymore, and you'll give place to the devil. Over time, perhaps you would learn. Brother Hughes died in an accident or suffered in an accident and is paralyzed. That's what sin does. What a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So are you sending now what redemption is? Ephesians 1:7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. This is in the Spirit. Now in Ephesians, chapter 1, where we're at, but in verse 13, in Him, Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Glory to God. The gospel of your salvation, or we could also say the gospel of your redemption. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory? New Living Translation. In The Spirit is God's guarantee that we will give us the inheritance He promised. The guarantee that He will give us the inheritance He purchased, that He has purchased us to be His own people. What is this guarantee? The price was paid for, but redemption is manifest solely in the Spirit, in the human spirit, which is why we're speaking so much of renewing your way of thinking. Which is why when a person genuinely, honestly is born again, but you see them like this person that I mentioned some time ago, you can't trust in them or in their words. Other Christians as well. Some of them easily offended, carnal. Because they operate here in the vanity of their minds. They operate mentally. That's what I call soulish Christians. They operate in their five senses. They take decisions based as how they feel in that moment. They take decisions out of their own emotions. God loves them. Their names are written in glory. But you know what? They're not the best. They're not a blessing here in the body of Christ. Because God loves them and sees them in Christ in their spirit. I know Christians nowadays, years being Christians. Some even live, they're not even married. They live together. Man calls her his wife. She calls him her husband in society, but in reality, they're not anything. They're not married. Why? Because they let themselves be guided as how the world thinks. Understand your redemption. Other Christians, what they do, they just live daily according to how their mind dictates them, how they feel. If they slept wrong, for example, they didn't have a good night, I was in a hotel where 6-7 feet tall. Very beautiful. Very nice. All the very nice rooms. But I told Nubia, the hotel is very nice, but the beds, they feel like they got slapped up. In the last few months of those 500 pound people. Most uncomfortable thing. I had terrible nights. I slept very little. But you know what? I wasn't with... There are people who growl, they feel like they act like Frankenstein's monster and say, oh, it's because I didn't sleep. No, it's because you're carnal. Hallelujah. Thank you for one smile, one amen. In other words, they want to justify themselves for how they act. Those husbands who were, God forbid, if the wife arrived from work and something happened, I don't know, they got behind, they didn't have food ready. God forbid. I wouldn't like to be in the place of that wife. There I am working and you're here lazy at home. And I'm hungry. You know what the issue is? That you're carnal. That's it. Redeemed, child of God, God loves you, your name is written in glory, but you're carnal. Oh, it's so nice to say the truth. That means then that you were bought with a price. But redemption has not been manifest completely, spirit, soul, and body. Which is why you have to renew your mind according to the word of God. Amen. And change your way of thinking. No, it's not how old you are. This is for whoever's listening, television, radio, internet, wherever. No, it's not how old you are, it's not your economic status or your immigration status, it's your way of thinking. Amen. Just ways of thinking. if you change and align and start changing your confession, glory to God. Verse 13, in him you also trusted the gospel of your salvation, whom have believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. But while that comes, you're going to have to deal with thoughts and subject your flesh. And again, many people say, oh, you're so insensible, Pastor. I've also been in situations. I've also felt sad. I've also felt discouraged. I've also felt sick, which is why I'm not condemning anyone. What I'm saying is how I've gone out of that and how I've had to stop this. And when I want to feel sad or depressed, I say no in the name of Jesus. I don't accept this. Amen. I am redeemed, glory to God. I have been redeemed, glory to God. I am a child of God. I don't accept this. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not just, oh, well, Brother Hughes, you have to understand the people. Sometimes they feel sad. Yeah, no one's denying that. I've told you that I've also felt that way. One thing is that I felt that way. Another thing is that I live that way. Say no. I am a child of God. I am temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, understanding that, go to 2 Corinthians. Everything that I told you so you can understand this. 2 Corinthians 8. In other words, no one's denying this. Some time ago, I went to go see a brother in Christ who was already dying. Over there in the Phoenix area as well. I went to go see him, and I went into his home. His wife took me to his place, to his room. The first thing he told me, I felt bad for a moment. I felt sad for what he told me. He said, brother, I know that I'm going off now, but please don't condemn me. You know why? Because these people are those who listen to me but don't understand what I'm saying. I said, why would I condemn you? No, because you speak so much of healing and of not letting yourself go and not falling to illnesses. But the thing is, I did let myself, and then I got depressed because of this. And the thing is, I didn't use faith. I didn't understand. I just let myself go with the illness. Well, according to me, I told them, when I say this to the people, according to me, I'm encouraging you. Because if I tell you, I already told you just how a moment ago, you don't let those thoughts take you and remember who you are in Christ. If I were to be encouraging you, I'm encouraging you to not stay in that. But there are people who listen to me and immediately some of them get condemned. And I said, I'm not going to condemn you. What do you want to do? Well, I already told my wife and my children, I already said goodbye to them. So, well, that's fine. That's your decision. But it hurt me in that moment where he said, don't condemn me. Well, who am I to condemn you? 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we have known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing. Who wrote this letter? The Apostle Paul. The same author we saw a moment ago. In Ephesians and in Colossians, same one that wrote this. Everything that Paul preached and spoke and taught or wrote was based on our position in Christ. So much for him and for the people who were listening. The Apostle Paul never taught or wrote things that were legalistic. More so, it was always in your point of position in Christ. Which is why you have to see it your point of redemption. Imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship, which means here these brothers in Christ in Macedonia had understood their redemption. Now, of course, nowadays, now that I'm preaching this here with you, there are many false apostles, false prophets that use what finances is just for their own good, for their own good of their own people. It's never from teaching in a biblical point so that the people could learn to give from their position in their redemption of who they are. One of those false apostles is using scriptures in the Old Testament to obligate the people and condemn them. Now, I'm just giving you examples here. Do you know why? You know why Numi and I never purposefully miss a service? Well, it's like this one time that we were out, but normally we don't come just because I wanted to stay home. It's not because I want to win the favor of God. More so because I know that I have it, and because I love God. Is that simply I do what I have to do with joy in my heart. Because again, help me with the verb there, to redeemed, there in multimedia. Notice this. I was bought with a price. It means then, are those glasses yours? Well, yeah, of course. It means that you bought them, right? Or they bought them for you, your parents bought them, but they're yours. You see, those are yours. It means then that if I was bought with a price, I belong to someone. I don't pertain to myself. And many carnal Christians, yeah, God loves them. Their names are written in glory. If they die, they'll go to heaven. They're children of God. But they don't understand this. They don't understand that they were bought with a price. You don't pertain to someone. You don't have a right to take your own decisions. Boom. Rescue. Someone rescued me from hell. To redeem by paying a price. Someone paid for me. Hallelujah. To rescue or free a captive from slavery. Aren't you thankful with the Lord here? In slavery of sin, I was a child of the devil. I was headed towards hell. To exchange God the Father, I was headed to hell, and God the Father gave Jesus so that he could suffer for me so I wouldn't have to suffer. But if all these Christians that I've placed these examples a moment ago would understand, they wouldn't act the way they act. They wouldn't act the way that they act. Verse 4. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship through the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Notice these people, again, let me participate. I always tell my Lord when I'm going to give a considerable offering. I say, Father, thank you for the privilege of giving. It's a privilege to give. It's an honor to give. And now, of course, I'm not dumb, and I say in the name of Jesus, receive a harvest. But first, I say, saying thank you for the privilege. Even from home, I say thank you for that privilege that I'm going to be able to sow. You know why? Because it's God giving you the ability. Your health. Another idiot that I know. I know many idiot Christians redeemed, but they're dumb. This other idiot told me, well, yeah, but I'm the one that wakes up early. I work in the sun all day. I go to work. Yeah. He was saying, yo, me. Yeah, idiot. But it's God the one that gave you the ability. God the one that gave you the work. God the one that gave you health. The oxygen that you breathe, God gave it to you. Amen. This other idiot I told you, I don't know why God put so many idiots in my path. Not many understand. This other idiot that I know, he said, oh yeah, but I've worked ever since I was a kid. Put the speakers closer. He created an excavation company, did different types of, they make cement and things of the sort. He said, yeah, and I created everything in it, and I said, yeah, but everything that you use was created on this earth. Just look around you in this sanctuary, in this church. Do you know that everything that you see here with your eyes one day was on this earth? Where do you think that steel comes from? The ground. Where do you think we get the cement? Those tiles are just a mix of minerals extracted from the earth. The clothes that you have, derivatives of oils here. This acrylic here comes from the earth. Water comes from the earth, straight from the ground. Your body, my body, God created them first from the dirt, everything. The power of seed, glory to God. When you speak words, when you sow finances in the kingdom of God, they're seeds they will produce. You know who produces? The ground, the earth. Earth activates the power that is in the seed. Mark 4. Read it correctly. Don't try to beat your husband or your wife saying that you read better or something. There you are running. You look like a roadrunner to show that you read even better. You don't even read. You skip commas and periods. I'm going to say you're a big macho. I can read better than you. Verse 26. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself. But notice how the seed sprouts and grows. But where does he throw that seed? On the earth. You know why that seed grows? Because the earth makes it grow. You know what that earth is? The inner man inside of you. So when you give, which is why we have so many Christians, if it weren't for this country, speaking of the United States, it weren't for a government, and other countries as well. That's how Christians think, that the government has to give them money. Like, and glory to God, I'm not criticizing, I'm not whom to tell you what to do. I know many people have lots of needs. But if you're a child of God, a believer in Christ, and you believe this, and you start putting it to work, the moment will come where, my God, you will see the blessing of the Lord, that you will see that redemption, you will see that grace of God in operation. Not just there, oh, glory to God, I'm saved by grace. Yeah, that's all fine. But you'll start seeing manifestations because you believe this. One more time. Change your way of thinking. Why do I say this? Go to Malachi. When you read Malachi, you should see it with the eyes of redemption. Speaking of tithing here, I believe in tithing. Tithing is honorable. But, here's a but. I always say things contrary to what the world is saying. But if you're just stuck with tithing, that's all you're ever going to give, just the 10%. And there are people, I know people who have tithed all their life. The first thing they do is take out Malachi 3:10 and say, "You cursed you are with cursing." People give out of fear. And people will, out of fear, will give once, twice, but they'll never prosper. Understanding redemption and giving the motive out of gratitude to God, out of understanding who you are in Christ, that you were bought with a price. God is your source. You will become rich over time. You will lack nothing. Start becoming richer over time. Verse 8. Will a man rob God? And questioning and answering, "Yet you have robbed me." But you say, "In what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation." Now when I read this, there's no fear in me. You know why you steal from God? You rob from God? What, are they going to cut the light bill over there up for him? You won't have enough to eat. Poor God. He's very old. No, you're not robbing him as such as a person. You're robbing him the opportunity to bless you. Of manifesting in your life. You're robbing God the opportunity for others to hear the word and to come to Christ. If you don't give, you don't believe in anything, God will love you the same. But you will not prosper in the way of God. That's what I'm referring to. Yeah, you can prosper. You have 2-3 jobs. You get tired and work for 20-30 years and save and don't go out on vacations. And I can assure you, you will prosper. But I'll tell you what, God will not be there. And you don't have a single right to say, "Oh, God has blessed me," because it's not true. Psalms. And I'll give you a Bible with this. 73 verse 12. "Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches." New International Version. "This is what the wicked are like. Always free of care, they go on amassing wealth without God, using every source possible." This man invented some terrible, ugly glasses. You put them on and you look like a fly. So it's this giant, tiny little face that you have, giant glasses, hair, terrible colors, terrible style. But this man has lots of money and has been an ungodly man for years, and then he hires a famous artist to make a commercial for those glasses. And those commercials are placed on all television and all around every platform on the internet. And they pay those platforms. Have you seen when announcements start coming out like that? And the people are there. Oh my God. I say, "Lord, why? Why do you always put me in these situations? I have to speak the truth here." Yesterday when we were coming back from Phoenix, I told them, "You know, sometimes I just wouldn't want to speak things. Just like to be dedicated to cattle and to preach kindly and just say 2-3 verses and give nice teachings. You know, those back rubbing messages." And these glasses that look terrible and mostly homosexuals and transgender like to use, and they sell millions of dollars because so-and-so said so. There's a pandemic of butts, especially in AP, a pandemic of butts. Butts like this. And tight skinny jeans. And might as well be naked at that point. And there's nothing to let the imagination go on for. And there are the men behind them. No, I know, I'm going to speak the truth to you, but you know why? Because this woman, Kim Kardashian, made it famous. All the idiots there behind her. And if this lady decides that obesity is good and increases 300 pounds, there's going to be a pandemic of obesity because so-and-so said so. And I don't understand Christians. Let the world get involved with the world, but Christians falling in that nonsense? After some time, there's a pandemic of lips. You can't even see their face at that point. You want to speak? Haven't you seen with people? You can't see them. Let's hold on. Let me lower your top lip. They look like they have a flower on their face. Because people aren't happy. Doesn't matter. People are going to have this in the front and then this in the back and then their mouth like that. After that, they're going to look like everything but humans. They'll look like extraterrestrials and they're never going to be happy. Neither men nor women. They're never going to be happy. Because it's the Lord. The Lord is the one that can truly bring you happiness. If you understand who you are in Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not saying not to exercise, not to eat well, not to go to the gym. I'm not saying things like that. I'm saying inside of normal range. But there are people who don't even look like that. You don't even know what they are. They deform their faces. And there are Christians. You know what I've learned of Christians? Men. Christian men who obligate their wives to go through those things. I'm thinking, what? How stupid can you be? Forgive me. Forgive the Greek. Wife looked at me and said, no. Well, too bad. She already told me. One more time. How stupid can you be? She's already going to tell me at home. Can some be and continue breathing? Wow. You know why? Because they don't understand who they are in Christ. They're seeking other things. New Year's, my children go through and say, oh, there are my lashes. Her lashes fell. Her eyebrows fell. Four children. There go my vitamins. I say, look, I love everything about you. I love all any loose flesh or anything that you have because she gave me my four children. She gave me four children. Hallelujah. Yeah. Telling you so, sister, so you can to help you out, so you're not complicating yourself. There are people who put these. No. I tell my wife, no, you don't have to be awkward. No, I'm not saying she thinks that she doesn't, but I've just told her before, don't even let that go through your mind. And you know why? Because we're in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Everything that I spoke has nothing to do with the subject, huh? But it was good, huh? Hey, you understood something here. Glory to God. And I know with this, I'm not saying that not to do a certain diet or something like that. Oh, the moon diet, please. Or the carbohydrate diet, or this and that. I have one. Eat half a portion, that's it. Why do we let the world dictate us what to do, what not to do, and how to dress, how not to dress? I created my own style. The way that I dress is the way that I created. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Man, we had a good time, huh? Probably the fact that we learned. At least I did. Perhaps some other religious zealots. We need more Bible. Yeah, go over there with your idol and the law of Moses or whatever. Now, I don't know about you, but understanding this brought me so much freedom. I'm not thinking, well, I have to pray. I just pray. Just born naturally. And then there we were in a public place there. It's a tremendous heat. Thank the Lord that Nubia had an umbrella, but I was very hot. I wasn't thinking on sweating. I just started sweating. So same thing with prayer. I don't think in that I have to pray and how many confessions I have to do. I do confessions, but it's born out of my heart. You know what it's born out of? My spirit redeemed in Christ Jesus.
Have you seen those folks that have a low self-esteem? I'm talking about Christians. Christians who have a low self-esteem with a complex. They just don't understand who they are in Christ. They understand their redemption. A low self-esteem. A low concept of themselves. It's just a low self-esteem. Remember, if I ask you, I want a response. They have a low concept of themselves, ashamed of themselves. Because they see themselves in their body, in their flesh. Instead of seeing themselves in the spirit. You see this person? I know this person who lost about 70 pounds, maybe 80. But if you hear him speak, and he's saying, I was believing the Lord for my healing, but I always had low back pain, leg pain. And I said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, lose weight. I had health problems, health issues. And I had some lab draws, and the Lord told me, lose weight. The Lord had told him. So I started losing weight. Exercising. But I noticed, and I said, Brother Hughes, this is a blessing. He never mentioned because he wanted to look more good looking or mentioned his physical. He told me the reason. You see the perspective? It's a different perspective. Be on your feet with me. Now I can say, be on your feet with me, not sit with me. I wish. Thank you, Lord. How good is this about redemption? It's great. If you base everything that you do on your redemption, you're a son of God, you're temple of the Holy Spirit. And when I read Malachi 3:10, I read it from a point of view of my redemption. Lord, thank you. And even though I don't practice Malachi 3:10, and the reason I don't is because I give more than tithe. And whatever you do, give it because you love the Lord. And you've understood with the revelation that you've been rescued, that you've been bought by price. Somebody loved me and continues to love me unconditionally. Wow. Glory to God. Not because I deserve to be loved, because I'm the best, but because I am in Christ. This changes your perspective. Imagine healing. Imagine if I asked, let's see who the brave one is who's going to answer. And if I asked you, why do you think you deserve to Jesus healed you? And I just put it here. For more than an hour, I just spoke about this. You see that no one knows how to answer? This just indicates how religion is a strong spirit. If someone asked you, man, I've been speaking this for years. And if someone asks you, why do you deserve? Why do you deserve the Lord to, God to heal you? And you say, by this and by this, and I sow and I... And no, that's not it. Why do you deserve? Because I am in Christ. Because I've put my faith in my Lord Jesus. You see the difference? You see how everyone was quiet? Maybe one person answered. And you doubt it because you haven't understood. Because you still carry it in your mind. And I say this without condemnation. And you're understanding, how many times do I give? None of that is worth it. That's your benefit. That's for your own benefit. And I say, Lord, I deserve for you to bless me because I'm a giver. No. And I said, well, you know what? I know this person who gives three times more than you. Wow. Or that the Lord asked me, this person is telling me is he gives another person gives you 5,000 more. And this and the person who gives five times more says, Lord, I deserve to be blessed financially because I give five times more than Brother Hughes. And he says, and the Lord tells him, yeah, but I know this person who lives in Texas that gives 20 times more than you do. But if the Lord tells you, why do you think I need to bless you financially? Because you love me, because I am in Christ, and because I am in Christ, glory to God that you have given me seed to sow. Huh. You have given me seed, and you have said in your word that he who sows reaps. You said in your word, and your word is Christ. Remember, you're not there, but can you see it? I'm not there. In your word, you said, in your word, it's first, it's because I am in Christ. And because I am in Christ, you have given me seed to sow. And even though I said I've exercised my faith, that faith is Jesus' faith. So everything comes back to Jesus. That's why I said, what you and I need to do is correspond by faith.
Were you ministered and were you fed with the Word of God? Then we give you the opportunity to do so online tonight, or in this day, or whenever you are listening to us. The Word of God says in Galatians 6, verse 6 and 7, let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In those same verses, but in the New Living Translation, those who are taught the Word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. So in this case, we are speaking of Word of Word of Faith Ministries, which teaches you the Word. Now, verse 7, New Living Translation, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. So when a person is constantly fed with the Word of God, they should respond. Why? Because it is good for you. This is good for you. This is good for you yourself, because when you sow the Word out of thankfulness, then you will reap. And at the same time, you help us, or you help that person who is being fed, in this case, from Word of Faith Ministries, to be taken farther. If Word of Faith Ministries does not feed you spiritually, then pray to the Lord to direct you or someone else and to another ministry to where you can be fed. But from where you are fed, the honorable is that you sow in that word. The Bible says that God gives to the sower. There is no such thing as, oh, I don't have or I can't. That's true. The Bible says that God gives seed to the sower and bread for food. So if you start believing by faith, the laws of faith are, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I ask seed to sow. I believe that I receive it and thank you for it. And from then on, every single day, thank you, Father, that you give me seed to sow. Miraculously, God will provide seed. We've lived it for those who believe in this. We've lived it time and time again, and we've experienced it time and time again. I agree with you in this day, in the moment of sowing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who will participate in sowing and reaping. I call an abundant harvest, a hundredfold return. We believe we receive this in agreement in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that your word is true, and thank you that we see prosperity in the lives of your children, in those who will sow, in those who will give. In this moment, we thank you, and we agree, and you know what? Nothing. You will lack nothing, and not only you will lack nothing, you will come out of debt. Not only will you come out of debt, you will prosper in the way of God. You will prosper according to the way of God. When that harvest comes now, be wise, seek wisdom. Don't spend. Get out of debt. God wants you free of debt, and He wants you very prosperous to finance the gospel of the kingdom. God bless you greatly.
We hope you have enjoyed today's teaching brought to you by Word of Faith Ministries. For more information about our ministry, contact us at 480-458-8618 or visit our website, mpfccc.org.